United we stand, divided we fall. We're Americans, and that says it all.
I believe in America. America's made my fortune.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Talking about freedom.
Freedom.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Yeah, I'm free.
I'm free to do what I want.
God bless the USA.
A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam. Born on the 4th of July.
Jerry Todd.
Whatever the product, let's face it, the Japanese have always had that little extra something special. But it's important to make sure as Americans that our priorities are with domestically produced products. Because let's face it, there's a different kind of war going on today.
Born in the USA.
I'm a U.S. mayor.
Serving USA.
Get propelled back home from overseas to the USA.
Broadcasting live from Studio G at the BDB Radio Network Studios in Glendale, Arizona, hunched down in the corner office of a more successful business, here's Corey Blaze.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a special After the Levels live stream and podcast. I'm Corey Blaze, and this is Hello, America. I've had my tongue bit on my weekly program, Fat Guy Radio Show, for a long time. A lot of Fat Guy Radio Show listeners are joining me on this special night to talk all politics and to talk about what's going on in this race for the presidency. So I thank you so much for joining me. FatGuyRadioShow.com is my weekly show. We'll be live tomorrow night. So this live-to-tape show is specially for After the Levels, my blog. First, I'd like to ask for forgiveness from the incredible Rob Spiewak of the Michael Mara Show for stealing his intro, that clip opening. I give full credit to Rob Spiewak for that mashup of clips. And Grandma said, sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. So thank you, Rob Spiewak of the Michael Mara Show. Well, ladies, what we're going to do today, ladies and gentlemen, I should say, what we're going to do today is I'm ready to cover the crisis in America, the race for the presidency. We all know what state this country is in right now. And in November, voters like you and like me will take to the polls to decide who will be the 45th president of these United States. Now, you know me, I'm not here to bash either candidate. If you're expecting me to pick a side, I'm not. The side I'm going off of is my side, how I see how this is going to play out. I'm only going to offer you my views. I'm going to tell you how I feel and how I observe things. They might be wrong, they might be right. It's up to you to decide. I don't care whether you agree with me or not. I'm not here to make you agree. I'm not here to make you see one side or the other. I'm here to express what I feel a lot of people are feeling right now in this country. And I'm going to say the things that people aren't willing to say. I don't have a big network. I don't have a big sponsor over my head saying, hey, you can't talk about this candidate because we back them with our money. None of that happens here. So it's going to be unadulterated, and it's just going to be all me. For the legal part, my views are not the views of BDB Radio Network or my cohorts on Fat Guy Radio Show. Just want to get that out of the way. They put that in red on my notes to say so. We're going to jump right into this, folks, and it's just going to be me having this expression with you. Now, there's no getting around it that right now there are two candidates running for the presidency of the United States. That would be one, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and one Donald Trump. Hillary Rodham Clinton is a former first lady to Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton, and Donald Trump, real estate mogul, reality TV star. Look at the fact that outside of everything that we're going to get into, we have really made history in this country. First off, we have the first ever female presidential nominee. First ever. I didn't think this country was ready for a black president, and we have a black president right now. I still hold a little bit of reservation that this country is ready to be led by a woman. And there's a little backstory behind that. And I was proven wrong with the black president. So we have already set the precedents. We have overcome what some people would say is an inequity in people that are in power. Women, it's proven it can be done. Will it go all the way? That's yet to decide. Secondly, history is made by having a Republican nominee that everyone, including me, didn't even believe would make it past the first debate. And now he is the Republican nominee, and I'm talking about Donald Trump. A lot of my friends sat around when we saw that Donald Trump was going to run for president, and I, for one, will admit that I said this is a marketing stunt. This is a joke. There is no way that this will ever come to be. He will be embarrassed one time, and then he will bounce, and he's out. That's not the case. He's in. And from the way that it looks, he's in it to win it. So we got Hillary Rodham Clinton and Donald Trump. A lot of people wouldn't have expected. If you would have said in 1993 that Hillary Rodham Clinton would be the Democratic nominee for president, people probably would have laughed at you. People probably would have laughed at you as well as when you said that there's going to be a black president. They probably would have laughed as well. One thing that I want to focus on first, I want to focus on Hillary Clinton first. Other than being the former First Lady of the United States, her track record by any measure is all government. That's how I see Hillary. Hillary Clinton, to me, is a career politician. She is a polished politician. People in America, I feel, don't want a professional politician or a career politician because they blame the career politicians on the current situation and the current state of this country. She comes across cold. She comes across stiff. When I look at Hillary Clinton, sometimes I think Weekend at Bernie's. Somebody's moving her around. Somebody's telling her what to do. She doesn't seem to have a lot of personality. She's emotionless at times. People, including my sect of friends, look at Hillary Clinton and they see Bill Clinton 2.0. Now, I want to point something out about this, that people are thinking that, okay, this is going to be like having old Slick Willie back in the White House. No! Wrong. Realize this. Bill Clinton was in office from 1993 to 2001. That was a long, 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 long time ago. The world is completely different than when Bill Clinton was in office. So people that are expecting Hillary Clinton to be the second coming of Bill Clinton, I believe they're up for a huge shock because you're not going to get that. Will he be able to have his pin the ear back of Hillary? Of course he will. He's the husband of Hillary Clinton. Of course he'll have his say. But we can't expect to have a president run a 2016, 2017 country on a 1993's basis. It's impossible. We can't do that. Do you even realize what TV looked like in 1993? It wasn't even in HD. But I believe people are looking at Hillary as the second coming of Bill Clinton. In my eyes, she's playing the Barack Obama card. Now, what I mean by playing the Barack Obama card, when I see Hillary Clinton on TV, in the news, wherever, she understands that this country, so many people were like, there's no way we're going to have a black president. But now that we do, she sees this opportunity as, hey, if we are all smiling at the job that Barack Obama has done, his approval rating is up, depending on what poll you look at. Everybody is thumbs up for President Obama. So Hillary Clinton, in my eyes, sees that she is hoping that that will happen to her. That people counted Barack Obama out as president, and he became president, according to certain reports, has done an exceptional job. Just look at his presidency. Some reporters are touting it as the most mundane presidency, personal-wise, compared to previous presidents. Barack Obama has not had a scandal while he's been in the White House. His kids are very well behaved. His wife, she's been compared to Jackie Kennedy Onassis. He's had a pretty squeaky clean presidency. Now, his ability to get certain things done and through Congress and through the House of Representatives, that's a whole nother topic. But personally, he has been scandal free. Michelle ain't gone off and done nothing with no intern. His girls are well behaved, or at least that's the way it has been perceived. I believe Hillary Clinton is riding on that fact that everybody loves Barack. That and President Obama recognizes that as well by all of the endorsements, the passing of the torch. He's hoping that all those people that weren't behind them, that ended up getting behind them, are going to get on the Hillary train. Hillary Clinton has had her scandal and her obvious scandals, clearly. The Benghazi scandal, which she cannot escape. The email scandal, she cannot escape. That seems to be the two biggest things that people keep throwing up when they try to down-talk or downplay Hillary Clinton as president. Benghazi, emails, Benghazi, emails, Benghazi, emails. That's all that it seems that everybody can focus on. Now, I'm surprised that with Hillary, she hasn't really overplayed, the female card in my eyes. She hasn't come out and say, oh, woe is me. It's time for a female president. We need compassion. She hasn't done that because to me, Hillary Clinton doesn't really have compassion. She doesn't seem to be a very compassionate person. When I look at her, she comes across stiff. I would imagine that when Chelsea had a problem, that's Hillary's daughter, when she was younger, Hillary probably had an aide or somebody say, you know, Gretchen, come across the room and hug Chelsea. That's just how Hillary Clinton comes across to me. She's a stiff board. She is an Amazon box. You're only going to get out of it what you've asked to get out of it. Nothing more, nothing less. No above and beyond. She is just Hillary Clinton. No questions. So I'm surprised that she has yet to mention anything about how she overcame one of the biggest presidential scandals ever, Monica Lewinsky. Is she completely trying to stay away from that? Is she avoiding that at all cost? Because if she, in my eyes, I would imagine that she would play the woman's card, which I would classify this as overplay. Play the woman's card. I overcame adultery. So I know what American women are going through. That's how I would see that card being played. Because she's gone through it. She had to smile at the cameras. She had to stand behind old President Slick Willie when all of this was going on, while she saw her marriage go into turmoil. She has yet to play any of that, and I'm wondering if we'll see it between now and November. Even Donald Trump hasn't even thrown Monica Lewinsky out to his supporters in trying to downplay Hillary Clinton. So Hillary has not been without her scandal. So some of the basics on that. Now, on to Donald Trump. We can't take away from the fact that he is a successful businessman in the real estate market. We cannot take that away from him. But to be honest, when putting this show, Hello America, this special together, I was researching and researching and researching, and I had help researching, and it was very difficult in this day and age, today, yesterday, and the day before this, it was very difficult to find any good stories or any good headlines about Donald Trump or his life, dating all the way back to when he was a successful real estate mogul. Everything was negative, from his marriages, from his kids, from his bankruptcies. Every ounce of research I was able to come up with, it was difficult for me to find a positive outlook on Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, I was able to do that. She was a Secretary of State. She's married to Bill Clinton. Thumbs up. But it was difficult. What good has Donald Trump done? That's really what I walked away with, other than the fact that he was a successful real estate mogul. That's what people know him to be. And of course, a reality TV star. Everything was related to some type of scandal or some type of drama surrounding Donald Trump. Try it. Google his name. Simple. Google his name and don't just look at the first two or three pages of Google. Go to page 4, 5, and 6. It gets really ugly because it gets dark, where the people that really tell truths are buried. They don't rank up in the first one or two pages of Google. They rank in pages 3, 4, 5, and 6. Still, nothing positive. But the one reason why I was behind Donald Trump at one particular time, yes, shocker, I was behind Donald Trump. I talked about it on Fat Guy Radio Show when he first began running, is because I am one of those people that believe the professional politician is the reason why this country is in the state that it's in. He's not a professional politician. He is the furthest from being a professional politician. If the light that it would take, light would travel thousands and thousands of years, it would take to get from a politician to Donald Trump. It would take light years, thousands of light years, to paint Donald Trump as a professional career politician. Now, I'm sure he's written some fat checks to some politicians in the past, but he's not a politician. I once championed him, but little by little by little, my support began to chip away by his outlandish reality TV antics. And what I lost in Donald Trump was trust. I looked at my little guy, AJ. I looked at my niece. I looked at dear supporters of Fat Guy Radio Show's children. And I came to the conclusion that my trust in Donald Trump to be able to provide a future for those kids, those children, does not exist. It wasn't there. I can't trust him. He's all over the place. He'd make a great radio host, but a president, not so much. Now, I believe that his rise to success is predicated on the fact that people see him as a successful businessman and they believe that a successful business person would be able to run America better. I think that's what people are when they look at him, they see. He knows how to run a business. And being a small business owner and entrepreneur myself, knowing how to fail, knowing how to win, knowing how to lose thousands of dollars, knowing how to gain thousands of dollars really rounds you out as a person. So I believe people are gravitating towards that. When you look at Hillary Clinton, you almost see, because she's a career politician, that she's pretty much been spoon-fed her entire adult life. She became an attorney. She became a state congressman. She became a federal government congressman. She was the first lady of the United States. It just seems like everything's coming up roses for Hillary Clinton compared to Donald Trump, who has lost businesses, who has lost millions of dollars, who has filed multiple bankruptcies, who has been through a large scandal. People almost equate him to be more human than they do Hillary. And that part of Donald Trump somewhat appeals to me, because it gives me that same understanding that, hey, Donald Trump understands. He's been here before. He knows what it's like to not have everything at one time compared to Hillary, where it's just success stacked upon success, stacked upon success, stacked upon success. And then there's a blue dress in there somewhere. I'm sorry, I had to get that in. But in my eyes, Donald Trump cannot escape the fact for many seasons he and his kids sat on a TV show firing people. Anyone under the age of 18, I'd give it a few more years, age 21. When they look at Donald Trump, the only thing they probably think of is his TV show, his reality TV show. If they don't know anything prior to, you know, a Trump Tower or any of his other real estate deals, they would know him from The Celebrity Apprentice. So they look at that and are like, oh, he's just a celebrity running for president. Or if you're in my age bracket, the 30-somethings or 40-somethings or 50-somethings, you look at Donald Trump and you think, just close your eyes and say Donald Trump. You don't think president. You think gold walls, jets with his name on it, gold pianos, lavish living, Trump Tower, Trump Casino, Trump water, Trump salsa, Trump condoms. If he can put his name on it, he would. That's what you think. You don't ever think politician. Who says Donald Trump, politician? No one. No one in a million years would have ever thought that Donald Trump would be potentially President Donald Trump. No, you think of a big, huge golden T outside of a 35-story building. He is everything but a politician. Now, in this country, how I believe Donald Trump has gotten another level to why he has gotten to where he is because Donald Trump has stirred up the bottom feeders of this country. He has taken that stick of conceitedness and winning and making America great again. He's taken that and plunged it to the bottom and give you an analogy, like if you have settled engine gunk at the bottom of your oil pan in your car and you just threw the engine block, just stuck a stick down there and stirred it all up and it's flown up into the clean oil. That's what Donald Trump has done and why he has been able to reach this level of being the Republican nominee. He stirred up the bottom feeders. He has awoken the feelings that many Americans that are anti-government or damn near anti-government. The ones that say, I no longer want a career politician running this country. He wrote it on the fact that he can't be bought. He's not for sale. He doesn't want the lobbyist money. He doesn't want big corporations money. He can do it all on his own, which made him appealing to people that understand how a career politician works. A career politician can be bought and sold to the highest bidder. And when they are bought and sold by whatever organization, that politician is now at the mercy of that organization or that politician risk losing money that helped them get to where they are. Bottom line, Donald Trump wrote on the ticket, "You can't buy me." And that made America percolate. That got the buttholes of America excited. Finally, someone that can't be bought. Honestly, throughout this whole process, I was leaning Bernie Sanders. I'm going to tell you why. Yes, he's 100 years old. I understand that. I get that. But let me tell you why I was leaning Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders had just enough politician in him and just enough real person in him that I think he would have been able to have the sensitivity to both sides of the American minds. I've laid out both sides of the American minds, the ones that want everything bought and paid for, the ones that see politicians work, and then the other-minded Americans that say, we're tired of politicians. I believe Bernie Sanders gave an example of how that could work, how he wasn't so far a politician and he wasn't so far a non-politician, if that makes any sense. Right down the middle, not left field Donald Trump, not right field Hillary Clinton. No, right down the middle is how I saw Bernie Sanders. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of how I'm really feeling. My overall feeling of everything political right now, the crisis of America, the race for the presidency, and yes, I classify it as a crisis because never before, never at any point in history has a presidential election been this controversial and this nasty. My one overall word to sum up this whole thing is fearful. I am fearful. The office of the presidency is the highest office in this country. How in the hell have we made the highest office in our country such a mockery, a joke, a piddly pissant of a position? That's honestly how I see the president of the United States. Remember those days, for those of you that grew up in a church, you know those days where it was like you wouldn't even curse when driving by a church. You wouldn't even smoke a cigarette when driving by a church. Just driving by or walking by. You weren't even in it. You were just driving by it. That level of respect that we used to have for churches is how this country used to respect the office of the president. That is gone. Gone. It is a watered down dog and pony show. It's no longer about getting someone in there that would benefit the country. It's all about getting someone in there that is on our team so we can stand on the mountaintop and say, we won. It has nothing to do with the fact that the country rests on the shoulders of who's ever occupying that office. That doesn't exist anymore. No one cares. We cuss, chew, smoke right in the church these days. So we have that same disrespect for the office of the president. Other countries would bow to their presidents. Now, I understand those countries may be third world. That's fine. But they still hold in high regard the office of the presidency. You don't let any Tom, Dick, or Harry who has clever speech, a gimmick, just waltz into that place. But yet the United States of America, hey, it's almost as if who's got more social media followers or who gets more news coverage that would make the best president. Other countries on this blue planet hold their leadership to high standards and high regards. Yes, sir.
No, sir. Never speak against them. In some countries, you get your head blown off if you say something bad about the government. But that level of respect, I'm not saying we need that here, but that level of respect no longer exists. We don't honor our White House. It's just another house. We play our presidential elections like we do Pokemon Go. I'm going to tell you how I feel that way. Pokemon Go, the end result is really how many Pokemon you can get in a little white and red ball. We take the same approach with electing presidents. Who can get the most Pokemon in the White House without the red stripe? Politics in America is a game now. It's no longer about what those politicians can do for the American people. It's about the American people saying, hey, my team won. Ha ha, I'm better than you. I'm going to take to my Facebook page and post a whole lot of BS about the fact that the Republican is a president or the Democrat is a president. It's a game. And the end result is, guess what? You won. Congratulations. Everybody in your party gets a participation medal. But where does that leave the country? Where does that leave the future of this country? Because while you're playing games, or while this country is playing games with our politicians, other countries are figuring out ways to destroy us. They're figuring out ways to blow up our infrastructure. They're figuring out ways to take out our financial system. They are figuring that out while we are over in the corner seeing who's piss can go further, only to resolve in the fact that my piss went further than yours, while our enemies are stockpiling intelligence. But don't worry, because when we get blown the hell up, hey, my team was in the White House. What sense does that make? Who is right? Which way is up? Is what you have to ask yourself. It is okay to have someone that you see will benefit this country be on the opposite team. It's okay. Even in an NBA game, every once in a while, the opposing team at the on the home court is going to bounce the ball over to the other team's bench. And you know what the team does when they get the ball to the bench? They bounce it back to the other team. It's just called fair play. Because sometimes you are, not sometimes, all the time, you're going to need the support of the other team. And we can't accomplish that when all we do is fight. All we do is, hey, look at my schlong is bigger than your schlong. Hey, China. And they're building nuclear weapons. Do you even care about that? No! I'm a Republican and my team is president. Rumpf, 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 rumpf. My children, their children, what kind of country are we going to leave behind for them? What do they have to expect? It is progressively seeming to get worse and worse. To what end? We are going to be dead and gone pushing up daisies, leaving this pissing competition for our children. And they're going to learn to have the same pissing competition until China has tanks rolling down Main Street, USA. We're going to be so busy with our backs turned to the world that they're going to come and screw us up the butts because our pants are already down. We're having a pissing contest. And I don't know about you, but in order to get correct range on a pissing contest, you need to have your pants around your knees.
So while we're peeing, another country without lube is going to shove it in the back because we're not paying attention to what really matters. I am embarrassed, bewildered, and confused by all of this. Everything going on. I am ready to take, if I had a proverbial towel, I would throw it in. I don't want to vote. I don't want to care who votes. Nothing you can say will make me change the way I feel about one candidate or the other. I don't give a rat's ass what you put up on your Facebook page. Nothing. Today or yesterday, Donald Trump insinuated that someone assassinate Hillary. How the hell do we even allow something like that to even happen? Go back and watch the footage. People cheered. If we as a country were really focused on what mattered, the next 15 minutes, Donald Trump would have been talking to an empty auditorium. Because you don't even want your neighbor up the street telling somebody else that you or someone you know or someone you know of should be shot. We allow that. Americans, we allow that. He has gotten away with saying so many things, and it's not his fault. It's our fault. If you want to know who's responsible for Donald Trump, go to your nearest mirror, and the image you see is the person at fault. When I look in the mirror, that person I see is at fault. When you, that person is at fault. America is sitting idle by letting this thing get out of control. Now, one thing that we hear so often is the one percenters. The one percenters control everything. The one percenters have all the control because they have all the money. Let me break something down for you. There are 619,600,000 people in the United States. 1% of that is 300,000 or so. Okay, so I'm going to take it down to remedial level. 319,000,000. Versus 300,000. 1% of that is 300,600,000 out of the 318.9 million people in the United States. I'm going to break that math down again for you because I might have lost you somewhere. According to a 2014 census, there are 318.9 million people in the United States. 1% of that number is simply 300,000. If you were a betting person and looking at the odds, which side do you think has a better chance on getting something done? I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Do you think the 319,600,000 people left over or the 1%, which is about 300,000 people? Who do you think, when they put their minds to it, would have more success in getting things done? 1% or the other 99%? I'm going to tell you why everybody blames the 1%. Because the media has told you that it's the 1%. We have become fearful of the 1%. We utilize the 1% of this country as an excuse that nothing has gotten done. oh, why would I raise my voice up and say anything? Because I don't have the money the one percenters have. Again, 300,000 against 319 million. The odds are in our favor. We have allowed the one percenters to be the one percenters. I'm going to blow your mind right now, if I haven't already. The one percenters don't care about the other, don't focus, rather, the one percenters don't focus on the remaining 99% as much as the 99% focus on the top 1%. Their focuses in those two groups are different. Those one percenters are not upset or pissed at the fact that 99% of the people blame them. They don't care. They never have. They probably don't even realize that we blame them for the problems. And the only reason why we blame them for the problems is because we've been told and programmed to blame them for the problems. They are focused on making their next dollar. They are focused on building the next company. They are focused on taking whatever they have to the next level. They're not looking for excuses in what the 99% of us are doing. They're focused on what they have to do next. What's their next move? Now, whether those one percenters came into their wealth by good ways or bad ways, that's not the discussion. The discussion here is that we are looking at the one percenters, and what we don't realize is that we are distracted. We are distracted from the real issues. Focus on the one percenters. They control everything. They've got all the money. They buy the lobbyists. They buy the politicians. They. And who is telling us this? Our 24-hour news cycle. Our 24-hour news cycle, people, this is coming from a person in media. They make money off of fear. If they can get you scared, they will get you watching. And the reason why they continue to do it is because we continue watching. Yeah, it's that simple. That little button, we have a TV remote, a Vizio TV that we utilize here in Studio G, and there's this red button way up at the top of this remote. It's called the power button. If we utilize this button more often on those 24-hour news cycles, watch how their stories turn. Let me pull the curtain back from you about how these news cycles work. When they are up there on TV, MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, whatever it is, whatever these 24-hour news circuits are, there's a little icky guy sitting in the back watching a little monitor. And that monitor is a live action, real time report on who's tuned in where. They can see who's watching MSNBC. They can see who's watching Fox News. They can see who's watching CNN and so on and so on. When their talking head is on camera and the talking head is talking about something and they see that little indicator stay in the green, meaning that they are meeting the expectations of their sponsors for viewers, then you know what? They tell the little talking head in their earpiece, keep talking. That's why you get 15 seconds of cell phone video looped over and over and over for 90 minutes on these 24-hour news circuits. Just watch. Open your eyes and actually see what they are shoving into our living rooms. It's the same rhetoric over and over with a slightly different word. Here comes an analyst that has no other bearings to the story other than the fact that he's an analyst and he's going to give us his analytical analyzation. And he's going to talk for 5 minutes. And then when he's done talking for 5 minutes, the pretty face behind the counter is behind the desk is going to reiterate everything he just said in 5 minutes for the next 50 minutes. And America is going to sit there and watch the entire process while the little icky guy in the back sees the indicator stay in green. And so when the indicator stays in green for that hour, guess what? They're going to do it again in the next hour because we watch it, because we're fans of it,
Because we take to our social media and we talk about it or we bash it. And it's just nothing but fear-mongering. That's all they do. When was the last time you watched a 24-hour news cycle that had a feel-good story? If you did, that feel-good story was in the last 45 seconds of their broadcast. It was an afterthought. They want you scared of what Donald Trump is going to say next. They want you scared of what the next gun shooting is going to be. To piggyback on something Tyler Perry said in one of his plays, in one of his movies, the person you allow to hold you in fear is the same person that rules over you, that has power over you. You have given that to them. And America has given this to the news media. That's why our politicians can do and say whatever they want over and over and over again, because we go cat-eyed in front of our televisions and on our internet, and we watch it. I'm going to tell you this right now. Those news circuits don't give a rat's ass about how you disagree with a story they covered on social media. They don't care. What you just actually did is probably made them another $1 million, because they're going to take that metrics of that comment about something that they reported on, they're going to put it into a spreadsheet, and they're going to sell it to Ford. They're going to sell it to Hyundai. They're going to sell it to another big company and say, hey, here's what our social media interactions are, whether they're good or bad. They don't care. They utilized it. You made them money. The only way to counteract this BS reporting that these 24-hour news cycles are doing is hitting that power button and turning that crap off. Because if that little icky guy in the back corner sees that little indicator go from green to yellow and into the red, he will whisper into the ear of whoever is the talking head, and that story will change. America doesn't want it, but we keep going back to it because we're scared. Because we're filled with fear. We don't think for ourselves anymore. We are 99% to the 1% of America. Folks, we win. And we've forgotten that. We are bigger than they are. Sure, we may not have the dollars, but you want to get to them. You want the 1% to actually notice you. Mess with their money. Grandma used to say, you never mess with the church's money. Mess with the 1%er's money. How do you mess with the 1%er's money? Let me give you an example. You got ABC CEO company, the CEO who owns ABC company, not America Broadcasting, but just for illustration purposes. You have ABC company. You know, the CEO is backing a frivolous as politician. You know what we do as the other 99%? We stop spending money at ABC company and we take it over to DEF company, because no successful CEO will ever exist without competition. You will never meet a successful CEO that doesn't have some sort of competition, meaning that there is either one or more other companies out there that provide similar or if not the same product as that CEO's company. So if you find that that CEO is backing a part of America that you don't agree with, you take your money somewhere else. When they start to see their little indicator go from green to yellow to now black, I guarantee you that 1%er member will change their view very quickly. They don't respond to your tweets. They don't respond to your social, to your Facebook posts. They don't give a rat's ass about any of that. What they care about is their money. Just like you and me. So if we affect their money, in turn, we change their mind. Because if a company is willing to back reputable people to run our government, why would you not want to support them? That's how we support companies. And when companies mess up, what do? We go somewhere else. It's the same thing. In politics, it's the same thing. Those 1%ers don't give a rat's ass about the fact that you're afraid of them because the media told you you're afraid of them. They don't care. They care about what their bank account looks like. They care about what's happening in the stock market. Your little 401k don't mean a hill of beans to them. What matters to them is when you go and get in the car with your family and you go to a mall or you go to a movie or you go to something that is going to drive the economic situation of this country. That's what they care about. And if you're not proud about who the CEO of Coke is supporting, then guess what? Start drinking Pepsi. And see if the CEO of Coke don't start to notice then. And if you got 319 million people that agree to do something like that, the world would change. It seems like a world of euphoria, I know. But my message to you is to understand how powerful we are and how this political climate is our fault. It's not Hillary Clinton's, not Donald Trump's. We have allowed it. The 99% of us have allowed it. You, me, my friends, my mother, my father, we have allowed it. We don't have the dollars, but what we have is the voice. This was very powerful. Just 60 years ago, 70 years ago, when this country was established, it was about the people. It is no longer we the people. And it stops. No, it's now a semicolon. We the people, the one percenters. We the people, the blacks. We the people, the whites. We the people, the Latinos. No, there is no semicolon. It's we the people. Period. And once we realize that, things will change. The presidency, Congress, Senate, House of Representatives, even all the way down to your police officers, all fit into one category: public servant. They are there with the main objective to serve the public. And we, the public, are so busy with our noses in our TVs and our noses on our websites that we have forgotten they're there to service us. And if someone is not willing to provide the services we desire, they should not be there. Take your ass to work tomorrow. Sit down in front of your boss and say, you know what? I know I'm supposed to type up this report, or I know I'm supposed to go out and dig up dirt to put plumbing down, or I know I'm supposed to drive a bus, or I know I'm supposed to add up this spreadsheet. But you know what? Today, I'm going to change my service to you. I'm going to do what I feel you should accept. I will see your ass in the unemployment line. You last probably about 5 minutes if your boss don't knock your ass out before then. Try doing that. So if your boss won't allow you to do it, and he's a crumb snatcher himself, how the hell we letting the politicians do it? How the hell we letting Washington do it? Now don't start, I'm sitting here, I'm trying to ignore the Twitter because people just blowing me up and calling me names, and that's fine. This ain't for everybody. But if we hold the respect of our bosses to continue to provide them a service that they hired us for, why can't we have that same outlook on our politicians? Because we've been told to fear them. We're scared. They have the power over us to do whatever they want. We're scared. We should not be sitting back pontificating about why $400 million of my money, your money, your neighbor's money, your children's future, why was that sent overseas? We should not be sitting back and expecting somebody on our TV to give us the answers. Hell to the nah. We should be speaking up. We should be sending in petitions and letters to the White House saying, what the hell did you do with our money? It's our money. You want to send whatever taxes you pay to a foreign country, then have at it. It's your money. But this is our money. If 319 million people did that, I guarantee you that tall African-American in that White House be standing out on that East Lawn giving you an explanation. But because we sit back and allow MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News to give us our answers, he ain't held accountable to nothing. Because we let him go on it. Oh, well, Anderson Cooper's going to talk about it for the next 3 hours. So what? Anderson Cooper doesn't have any loyalty to you. Anderson Cooper has loyalty to the commercials that are running in between his segments. We're losing. We've lost. And our kids are going to pay the price. 319 million versus 300,000. Remember that number. I'm just one person. And you know what? I'm part of that 319 million. I'm part of that guilty ones. I'm part of the people that sit on my couch and watch it air on television and not say anything about it. I am part of that. I'm part of that problem. So I'm preaching to myself too. Lady K told me before I went on the air, I'm ready for you to preach. And here's the sermon. I'm not here to talk about your candidate, who's right, who's wrong. I don't care. Nothing you say is going to change my mind about Hillary or Donald Trump because it's my mind. You change your mind. They don't care whether you post something up on your social media site either. Stop doing that. You ain't doing nothing but ruining friendships. If it makes you feel better, go to their website. They got forums on their websites where you can sit there with like-minded people and y'all can just have a circle jerk around your candidate. Who cares? I don't care if you like Hillary Clinton. I don't care if you don't like Hillary Clinton. I don't care if you like Donald Trump. I don't care if you don't like Donald Trump. That ain't gonna have nothing to do with what I'm gonna do in November when I go to the polls. Nobody's gonna go to the polls and say, you know what? Because my friend John Smith posted something up on his Facebook page, I'm gonna vote this way. You're not gonna persuade anyone. Pull your head out of your ass, educate yourself, and when you go to the polls, you vote the way you feel. This was supposed to be 30 minutes and I went an hour. Do you understand and feel my passion? All of this crisis is because we have allowed it. We are the mother effing United States of America. We don't owe nobody else any other explanation. We got a trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. How come neighbor A has one explanation, neighbor B has another explanation, neighbor C has another explanation, your cousin has one explanation, and your Uncle Sally has another explanation? Why the hell don't we all have the truth? We may not be 1%. What we do have is 99% of the power if we use it. I'm pissed. I'm scared. Just like you are. But it's time for us to wake up. If we elect someone in November and they get into that White House and they don't do what 99% of us want them to do, they need to go. Your boss will fire your ass if you don't do what you was expected to do. They need to get go if they don't do what we expect them to do. But would that ever happen? No, because we too busy having pissing contests in the parking lot. We're too busy saying, hey, my team won. We, the people. No semicolon. Hello, America. Hello. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get you to realize how important of a time we're living in. Your kids' kids, our future, their future, all rest on the fact that we need to stop being this punk-ass society. You want to know who cares about the society? You know who wants to care about, who cares about the social media and what you say on social media? Celebrities. Give you an example as I come to a close. Kevin Smith was in a movie review of one of his movies, and a guy stood up and said, you know what, Kevin, I felt that your movie didn't live up to the trailer. Kevin Smith reached into his pocket, gave brother his $40 back, kicked his ass out the roof, and went on with his life. That's who cares about what you got to say on social media. You're celebrities. Our politicians, they in one ear and out the other. Half the messages you send don't even make it to them. They got people and interns that don't care, that reply back, auto reply. The power is in 99% of us, not the 1%. Don't allow these media outlets to continue to derive fear. They make money off of it through us watching those commercials. When those little indicators start to go into the red, those sponsors start to go to another network and those shows go away. That ain't nothing new. That's how television and entertainment has always worked. You don't watch it, the shows go away. So imagine if we took that same ideology and applied it to the 24-hour news circuit. Remember when TV used to go off? You hear the national anthem, and then you see the American flag, and then snow, and then it'd be back on at 4 o'clock in the morning? That don't happen no more. Now you got 488 channels that are on 24/7. I'm not telling you not to watch TV. I'm telling you to enact a change. Stop taking it up the ass, America. That's why I named this show Hello, America. And I know that there are people saying, I thought he was going to talk all politics. This started off all nice and pretty. Now you got me thinking that I'm the screw up. You are. And so am I. Because we've allowed it. In our country. In our country. We the people. No semicolon. 319 million are better odds against 300,000. That don't even realize that 319 million point the finger at them. They don't care. Well, thank you for sticking around for this. I'm sorry if I bored some of you to snot. I know this isn't the normal way that we, you know, do shows, but this is just honestly how I felt, and I've been feeling this way for quite some time. I honored my network by not addressing this on Fat Guy Radio Show. I saved my boys Philippius and Orly from having to deal with this rhetoric. So I'm fortunate enough to have this outlet, and I know not a lot of people do. But I had to express myself. This has been stirring inside of me for so long. And it's not going to get any better if we don't make it get better. All of these campaign slogans, make America great again, make America successful again, I'm with her. How about we drop all that and we just simply return to we the people? No semicolon. I'm supposed to read ads and stuff like that. I'm not going to do that. I want to thank you again for giving me and joining me. A lot of you are on Twitter right now. Lady K, I love her to death. We have become lazy America. You are right. John Adams, J8Adians07. Thank you, buddy, very much for watching and agreeing. Jennifer W., you feel the same way. Heather M., I'm trying to edit your last names out just in case you don't want them said. Heather M. Says she's emotional listening to this, watching this. Jaqueen, I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong. Jaqueen off of Twitter is asking if you could use this video for your college report. Absolutely. We'll have it up on After the Levels Vimeo page later this week. A lot of hate, and I'm not surprised by that.
A lot of angry people. I'm just scrolling through. A lot of angry people. Yep. And these are the people that are letting this country go to hell. I'm not going to mention your names, but a lot of angry people. And I'm not surprised by that. It's one thing the network warned me. Hey, you, Corey, you do this, you know people are going to be upset. That's fine. Hello, Angel. Yes, Fat Guy Radio Show will be on tomorrow at 7:30. Thank you so much for watching out in Phoenix. All right, so take from this whatever you want to take from it. I had a lot of other notes. I had a lot more, but I wanted to speak to you right from the heart. This country is in a state of crisis, and it's up to you and me to get it back on track to the best of our abilities. The fear is not real. The fear is fabricated. It's not real. They can't shout down 319 million of us. They can't. Make sure you subscribe to After the Levels on afterthelevels.com/subscribe. Join me tomorrow night on fatguyradioshow.com where we'll make you laugh or depress the hell out of you. I want to thank again BDB Radio Network for allowing me to come in and do this After the Levels. And I, you know what? I never mention or shout out the guys that are behind After the Levels. A lot of people behind scenes that really helped me keep this website afloat. Thank you guys so much. I really love you. You guys work all over the city. We don't normally see each other other than through chats and stuff like that. But you guys do a great job keeping that product going when I'm running around doing other things. So, all right, everybody. God bless you and God bless America.